Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Rory O'Hagan here with you on the Big Red Bench for the first time in a long time. Fingers crossed I can remember how to present a radio show, because otherwise we're going to have 60 minutes of dead air over the next hour. Although that could be better than me. Who knows? A lot to come up on the show this evening. We will be wrapping up the final day of the Premier League season. Aston Villa staying up by the skin of their chief, Man United, getting Champions League football for next season. We'll have the best reaction from Castlehaven's win over Carberry today. We'll hear from both sides. Joe McCarthy will be providing analysis. We're also going to talk to Newsystem and to Douglas as well. We're also going to talk to Co-Ramblers chairman Bill O'Leary about their return to football and how they survived during a pandemic, and plenty more besides. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. I say it's my first show back in a while. Colin presented the first show yesterday. He's hung on after the 2-6 show to have a little bit of a chat. How did you find it being back yesterday?
I loved it. I'll be honest, Ro, I really enjoyed it yesterday hosting the show. It was nice to do a sports show after so long. It had been because I was casting my mind back to the last show I had done, which had been the end of February, I think, or something like that. And myself and Tomás O'Leary were chatting about the coronavirus and how it might impact on sport.
A couple of weeks.
Exactly. And we were looking ahead to things like the Olympics and the Euros. And we were like, Asher, look, it'll be long done and dusted and they'll definitely go ahead. Little did we know what was ahead of us. But look, at least we're back and things are back up and running anyway.
Was it okay presenting the sports show again? Is it like riding a bike?
For
the first time in years, I've been nervous presenting the show today. It's been on my mind.
You'll be fine, Roar. I mean, as I found yesterday, once you get back into it, it's quite, you know, it's like nothing changed, even though it has been about 5 months. But it was brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic stuff indeed. If you want to get in touch with us, text us 086-8104-106 and tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We'll get you that Castlehaven reaction shortly. But we are going to wrap up today's Premier League action. We have a couple of full times to get through. Not all of them are in yet, but we'll play the ones that we have. And Aston Villa are staying up, so that means Conor Hourihan is going to be a Premier League player for next season. They've had a 1-0 draw with West Ham today. Mike Lawrence is watching.
West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't a classic, but that won't matter to Aston Villa manager Dean Smith, the players or supporters. They'll be enjoying a second successive season in the Premier League. West Ham shaded the first half, Villa looked better after the break and eventually took the lead through captain Jack Grealish firing high into the roof of the net from close range. But literally from the restart, West Ham were level. Andrei Yarchenko, his loop shot from the edge of the area, setting up a nervy finish. West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1.
That is Aston Villa safe for another season. That was the big kind of discussion at the end of the table. Yeah. Who was going to go down between Aston Villa, Bournemouth and Watford?
You feel for Bournemouth today because they got a 3-1 win over Everton, but it wasn't enough because Villa got the point against West Ham. So Villa are staying up and Bournemouth go down and Watford go down as well. They put up a bit of a fight actually, Watford, in the end against Arsenal after going 3-0 down. But I think those bottom three, Norwich are gone a while, Watford, Bournemouth, they've been down there for quite a while. So I mean, you know, they kind of, you don't like to say anyone deserves to go down, but Villa did enough to stay up, so fair play to them.
Yeah, and as you say, Bournemouth winning 3-1 away to Everton, but it's all for naught. Shane Pinnington.
Everton 1, Bournemouth 3, but Bournemouth's 5-year stay in the top flight is over. They did their job here on Merseyside, but other results transpired against them, and they'll be playing Championship football next season. Josh King fired the visitors in front from the spot, but Moise Keane quickly equalised for Everton. Jefferson Lerma then headed Bournemouth back in front right on half time, and victory was assured today, and Junior Stanislas fired home late on. But in the end, it counts for nothing as relegation was confirmed. Everton 1, Bournemouth 3.
And relegated by a point as well, where Bournemouth, that's a 12th place finish for Everton. Bit of a nothing season for the Toffees this year, but never really a threat of relegation, although they would have been considered maybe at the start of the season going for European football, but it just wasn't to be for the Toffees. But Bournemouth, John, I'm not entirely sure anyone's going to miss them, to be perfectly honest. No. Sorry, apologies to all the Bournemouth fans who are listening.
I don't think there's too many Bournemouth fans in Cork. There's bound to be one or two somewhere. They're a small club by Premier League standards. I think their stadium only holds something like 11 or 12,000 people as well. You feel for Eddie Howe. He's taken them all the way up through the divisions, from right down the lower English divisions all the way up through League 1, League 2, the Championship, and a few seasons in the Premier League now. And you'll wonder, will he keep his job?
Yeah, you'd wonder. It's been a very, very poor run of form that they have gone on recently, which has resulted in their relegation. They've been terrible since Christmas, and obviously it's resulted in the relegation. Will he still be there? Considering he was touted as the next bright hope, the next big thing in coaching, and everyone was fawning over him, and then to go from that to being relegated in such a poor run of form, I suppose, just shows you how quickly the tables can turn. But yeah, you'd imagine they'd keep him on.
You'd hope they'd give him a chance to get out of the Championship. Bournemouth are the kind of club who probably will, but who knows? Who knows? Football management is so precarious.
Yeah, elsewhere, the champions Liverpool are wrapping off their season with a win away to Newcastle. Stephen Goldsmith.
Newcastle 1, Liverpool 3. 99 points it is for Liverpool with this victory, yet they couldn't have possibly got off to a worse start. Dwight Gayle, with the quickest Premier League goal of the season, 24 seconds on the clock when he broke the deadlock. Van Dijk levelled things up with a header before two great goals compounded things. Divock Origi curling a shot into the bottom right-hand corner, and Sadio Mane bettering it, curling a shot into the top right-hand corner. It finished Newcastle 1, Liverpool 3.
So as Stephen mentioned there, 99 points for Liverpool. Will they be annoyed by that, or will they even care, Colm?
I don't think they're going to care too much. I mean, what does it matter really at the end of the day? They're Premier League champions after 30 years of hurt for Liverpool. They've got their Premier League title, and that is all that matters for the Liverpool fans. I don't think even if they had lost to Newcastle today, they'd have cared too much. They went 1-0 down, but they've gone and won 3-1. 99 points, a point shy of the 100. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they finished 18 points clear of Manchester City, which kind of shows their dominance, I suppose, and just how good they've been and how far ahead they've been of everyone this season. It's been fantastic to see, if you're a Liverpool fan, of course. But yeah, fantastic season for them, and all eyes on them to see if they can defend their trophy successfully next season. Speaking of Man City, they rounded off with a big win over Norwich. Peter Smith.
City 5, Norwich 0. Gabriel Jesus opened the scoring. The outstanding Kevin De Bruyne added a second with a right-footed curler before equaling Thierry Henry's Premier League assist record, ushering in Raheem Sterling for City's 100th goal of the campaign. Riyad Mahrez made it 4. De Bruyne claimed the second, and fine saves and a VAR reprieve earned Edison the Golden Glove. City 5, Norwich 0.
Big win for City as they wrap up their campaign. I'm sure they'll be back and hungry and ready to go for next season after a disappointing year for them. Elsewhere, Southampton had a 3-1 win over Sheffield United today. Alan Lewis.
Finished Southampton 3, Sheffield United 1. A second half turnaround giving Southampton a deserved win. John Lundstrom gave Sheffield United a first half lead. Shea Adams got Southampton level 5 minutes after the break with a good finish. Billy Sharp missed a glorious chance before Adams got his second of the game in the right place at the right time when Cole Walker-Peters' shot was blocked in the 18-yard box. Danny Ings made sure of the win with a penalty late on. A great second half of the season giving Southampton plenty of confidence going into the next one. It's finished Southampton 3, Sheffield United 1.
Yeah, disappointing end to Sheffield United's campaign. They just kind of ran out of steam. Yeah. It looked like they were going to be challenging for European football right until the end of the season. Finished 5 points off that with Tottenham finishing in sixth with 59 points. Sheffield United with 54. But you see, running out of steam, but considering their first campaign back in the Premier League in quite a long time, it's been nothing short of a fantastic campaign for them. And the fact that a Corkman, John Egan, was the star of their defence as well is fantastic.
They'll be delighted with that. Ninth is a great return for them. They'd have taken that or anything around there, bitten your hand off at the start of the season for a placing like that at the end of the season. But obviously for a while they were flirting with a Europa League place, maybe even like an incredibly outside chance of a Champions League place, but it wasn't to be. 54 points is still a good return for them, definitely.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll get you the rest of the full times as soon as we get them with the rest of the results. It was Arsenal 3, Watford 2, that confirmed Watford's relegation. Burnley 1, Brighton 2, Chelsea 2, Wolves 0, Crystal Palace 1, Tottenham 1, and Leicester City 0, Manchester United 2. That result securing the Red Devils Champions League football for next season, as United actually finished third above Chelsea on goal difference. So a fantastic season for them in the end, wasn't it? Because they seemed to click.
Yeah. I think it's 2020 since we've kind of maybe after Christmas and it's in around January they started to click, and from that period onwards then they got a good run before the lockdown. They continued that after the lockdown for quite a few games, one or two little blips recently, but they've looked very impressive. A lot of people put it down to signing Bruno Fernandes in January. It's probably not quite as simple as that, but he definitely did make a huge difference. He scored again today, got a penalty along with Lingard getting the other goal for them, and there was talk, I mean, back around Christmas time that Solskjaer wouldn't last much longer as Manchester United manager, and United fans were very, very unhappy about the way they were going. But they finished third, they're back in the Champions League, their players are playing a lot better together. We're seeing Fernandes, we're seeing the likes of Pogba producing more, we're seeing great things from Rashford, and Greenwood is such a great prospect as well. I fancy United to do quite well next season, Roar, especially depending on who they sign in the off-season between now and the 12th of September when the season resumes in the Premier League. I don't think United are going to win the Premier League next year, but I think they'll be a lot closer to Man City and Liverpool than they are right now.
Yeah, to finish third in the Champions League football, I think United fans got to be happy with that, and they look like they're going in the right direction. Bruno Fernandes has been a sensation since he's arrived. A nice penalty for him today as well, and Jesse Lingard with that second goal. I'm just going to go over to the Emirates now where we can hear from Andrew Chiel.
Arsenal 3, Watford 2. Watford gave it everything, but they end up with nothing. A disastrous start saw Aubameyang slot home a penalty. Tierney doubled the lead with the shot that was deflected. Aubameyang's spectacular overhead made it 3-0. Deeney's penalty gave Watford hope. Welbeck's clever flick allowed them to dream, but they're left with the reality of relegation. Arsenal 3, Watford 2.
Yeah, so Watford down after that result. Certainly didn't go their way today as they were 3-0 down against Arsenal today. So not exactly what you want when you're trying to get a result to stay up, funnily enough. But yeah, that's
definitely not they're gone. And I mean, you kind of say, why did they sack Nigel Pearson two games ago? What was the motivation there? What happened there?
There must have been something went on behind the scenes there. That had to have been.
I would think there was some falling out at board level with the chairman or something, but who knows? I mean, it just seemed bizarre with two games to go in the season to sack your manager, and it hasn't paid off for them.
Yeah, the Championship playoff meanwhile this evening, Swansea City against Brentford, 6:30 kickoff for that one as Cardiff City and Fulham tomorrow at 7:45. But that just looking at the league table as it finished, as I said, Liverpool on 99 points, Manchester City 81, and then Manchester United and Chelsea on 66 points with less than 62, and Tottenham on 59. Wolves missing out on European football by goal difference after they were beaten by Chelsea today, so disappointment for Wolves. But that's pretty much the Premier League all wrapped up. We'll get to the rest of the full times if we get them done before 6 p.m. but I think Colin's going to leg it now because he's had a long enough old day.
Time to go. It's been a busy day and a busy weekend, Roar, but all good fun, I think.
Next Sunday show will be fun because we're doing it live from Turner's Cross.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll be live actually all day from Turner's Cross pretty much next Sunday from 2 right through to 7. Cork City and Bowes, be good to have live football back. Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic show. Start called. Really look forward to that game and have a big preview coming up on the Big Red Bench next Saturday from 6 p.m. And of course, we'll be there on Sunday throughout the second half live for the entirety of it on the Big Red Bench. And we'll beforehand with Cullum on the 2-2-6-0. So we'll have that with Cullum Matt next week as well. All right, going to talk Getty Games now. And the big game of the day, probably the big game of the week, was the West Cork Derby, Castlehaven and Carbery Rangers in the Bon Secours Premier Senior Football Championship Group B. Castlehaven who got the win 14-9. I'm going to talk to Ger McCarthy, who's there for us in a little bit. But first, reaction from both sides. Going to hear first from Castlehaven's John Cleary.
Okay, John Cleary, first of all, congratulations. Very, very hard earned victory. But how do you assess your side's performance?
Well, look, we came over here to get a victory today. I didn't think we were played overly well or anything like that. Now, the wind might have a factor. We made a lot of elementary mistakes at times, but look, Ross are a hard team to play against. They beat us the last three times, so, you know, there was a bit of apprehension from our guys, but at least, look, you know, when the game was there to be won in the second half, we won it. Probably should have won by more, but we didn't. And look, it's 2 points on the board, and we just move on to the next game.
The significance of beating Carbery Rangers, because they seem to have had the Indians in over just the last couple of matches that you've played in Championship.
Yeah, well, in fairness, they were down a few players today with injury. Like John Hayes has been a thorn on our side for a long number of years, and he didn't start, and John O'Rourke, their county player, like, so naturally enough, they were handicapped today. But like, we still had to go out and beat them, and the lads that were out there for us gave 100%. And as I said, I felt at times we didn't show composure. But look, we got over the line and we can be looking forward to the next day now.
And just the significance of winning your first match, especially in such a, what could be a very tight group, as positive a start as you could have asked for.
Yeah, absolutely. Newcestown had a huge win last night. So, you know, after we practiced today, now just looking forward to that game. And you know, these games against a lot of the players that they know are going to be tough and they're not going to be free-flowing. And as I said, look, the main objective was to get a win. The bonus would be to have played outstandingly well. We felt we didn't do that today, but look, we got the win and we can plan for the next day and hopefully we can play a bit better and get the win again the next day.
That's Castlehaven's Sean Cleary there speaking to Ger after their win today over Carberry Rangers. Going to hear now from Haven's Michael Hurley.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, look, as I said to the lads there, look, it's just absolutely brilliant to be back playing competitive games. I suppose what better way to start with a local derby. But yeah, look, just back playing with the club is just extra special. We've had more time training with the club this year than we've had with the last 4 or 5 years. So, look, it's just brilliant to be back playing, as I said.
Enjoying this kind of exclusive period of club activity? Getting caught between two stools, you know who you're with and you can concentrate on?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I suppose you're not being pulled and dragged, I suppose. I think a few weeks ago when the JA did come out and I think they kind of put a bit of a law in place that county players actually aren't allowed to train. I think that was a brilliant idea. But yeah, look, as I said, it's just to be back playing football after everything that's happened. We're just delighted.
No easing yourself back in, I suppose. This was always going to be a big game to start back with.
No, look, I suppose when we did start back training, there was a bit of easing back in. I suppose there was a worry of kind of injuring yourself. Look, as everyone knows, all we're doing during lockdown was, I suppose, running on your own, just 5Ks, 10Ks. So when you're coming back into a match scenario, there was certainly easing yourself into it, yeah.
Long to find your feet.
Yeah, look, enjoyable is the first word that would come to mind there. I think everyone was just delighted to be back playing. And as I said, look, it's just a brilliant occasion. A local derby was the first game. It was just lucky that was the first game we were playing. But look, we look forward to the next two games and hopefully we'll be okay for here. Yeah. Well, look, I suppose if we all just look after our own patch, that is the hope. And I suppose just in general, sport isn't life or death either. So it's just to make sure that we're all fit and healthy, I suppose, is the main thing.
How badly did you want to win this today?
Yeah, look, I suppose there was a certain edge that we certainly, I suppose, owed Ross one or two. But I suppose we didn't come here to settle old scores. Look, it was a new day, a new season. The last few games we did reference for the game, but as I said, look, it was a new day, a new occasion, so we were just focusing on today.
And you're happy with your own form heading into the next round?
Yeah, look, I suppose the win is most important, but look, if you play well personally, I suppose it's just a bit icing on the cake, so yeah, happy with that.
It's Michael Hurley there of Castlehaven speaking during the Assembly Media after their win today over Carberry Rangers in the Bonsecours Premier Senior Football Championship played in Clonakilty this afternoon. Jersey also been in conversation with Haven's Damien Callan.
Damien Callan, an excellent all-round team performance and a good positive start for Castlehaven to the Senior Football Championship.
Yeah, definitely. You know, nice to get off to a winning start there. You know, to be fair, over the period that we had off there, fellas had kind of worked hard on their own and done what they can to stay in fairly decent shape. And, you know, fellas, I'd say enjoyed that there now today.
From your own point of view, how significant has it been, the time you've gotten with the club, not just in the lead into a game, but the extra time that you've gotten?
Yeah, I think really enjoyable. You know, I suppose it's nothing different in that you always prepare to your max, and you know, you try and get that 100% out of yourself in everything you do with your training and your preparation and everything else. So that doesn't change, but it's nice to get back to fellas that you came up through the ranks with. And as I said, you know, with the inter-county thing, you know, win, lose or draw, the fellas with the club are always there for you, you know, so it was nice to get back to them today as well, you know.
It took a while to shake them off. It was level at half time, and how important on the pitch was that wind in the second half, because it looked like it was strengthening?
Yeah, I think look, in the first half I suppose, first of all, you know, Ross are a very tough team to play against, you know, a tough team to break down. So we knew that we knew it was going to come down to the wire anyway, you know. We'd said that beforehand. So we weren't going to panic, I suppose. And we were nicely set after the first half, going in kind of level after having played against a strong breeze. And then in the second half, going to play with it, I suppose, it just means that you can maybe, you might have an extra 5 or 10 yards of a shooting range. But you know, it doesn't change a whole pile, you know.
Just from your own point of view as well, it's going to be such a tight group. You know, the other two teams that you're going to be playing, pure West Cork derbies, Newcestown, Island Rovers, but getting that win under the belt is significant.
Yeah, massive. Look, I suppose any West Cork derby is always a tough one. They're tense and they're tight affairs. And yeah, just I suppose looking forward to the rest of it now. Nice to get a win and maybe take a small bit of pressure off, that you can go and kind of express yourselves even that bit more. But sure, look, we'll kind of prepare ourselves now as best we can for our next game. And yeah, looking forward to it.
That's Damien Callahan there in conversation with Jor. We'll hear from Jor in a bit and get his thoughts on the game, but first going to hear the view from the Cabaret Rangers side and their boss Holly O'Sullivan.
Holly O'Sullivan, obviously commiserations on that last, but as you know, it's not the end of the championship by any means for Cabaret Rangers. You've got two more big matches, big West Cork derbies coming up, and I would imagine the focus is now fully on those.
Ah, without doubt. We were just saying to the lads there, you know, we're not out of the championship. It would be way worse if we were. And they haven't armed through to the next round, even not a good performance by them. But look, instantly we're looking at Island Rovers and preparing for Island Rovers over the next 3 weeks.
Can I ask you, you started with three key players. I think it's fair, it's not an understatement. Your goalkeeper Paul Shannon, John O'Rourke and John Hayes. First of all, how John Hayes came on, but how are the other two and what is the prognosis for them ahead of that Island Rovers game?
Well, hopefully they'll be back in time for the Island Rovers game. John O'Rourke damaged his hamstring. John Hayes is suffering a bit of tendonitis. Paul Shannon has a couple of niggles that he has to sort out. So, look, we could have played them today. But then there was a kind of a weighing up as to whether we'd put them out for 6 weeks if we did play them today. So, look, it was a difficult decision, and I thought the rest of our team stood up and, you know, played very well, started slowly. And, you know, we put ourselves in the back foot, particularly playing with the wind. But could have had a couple of goals in the first half, a couple of missed frees in the second half, a couple of little errors left Haven back into the game, and they had the advantage of the wind, and fair play to them, in fairness. You know, they deserved the win today.
How much of that is rustiness that you have to get out of the system when it's the first game?
Sure, without doubt. And, you know, you don't really know where you are the year that's in it, you know. And, like, we had a couple of lads, as you could see there, were 10 minutes ago. We're lucky, a bit of match fitness as well. And hopefully today will bring them on from that.
From your own point of view, like you said, you started, like, you were 4 points down very quickly, but you didn't panic and you reacted positively. And again, you had the wind at your back. You struggled a bit playing into the window to start the second half. Is that fair?
Yeah, in fairness, sure, these games go in cycles. You know, you had our periods of dominance. You know, I thought our goalkeeper and our six backs did excellently. In fairness, I'd say we had almost 100% off our on kick out. We did well around the middle, but as I said, you know, there were the few key stages, the few key plays during the game where in the first half we bared down in goal two or three times, could have got one out of three. That would have made a big difference going at half time. A couple of missed frees we should have gotten in the second half, a few turnovers that led to Castlehaven scores in the second half, you know, all small things that we can work on and sort out.
And that's the thing, you said it yourself, this championship, this new format gives you the chance. Now you're not out, you're far from out of it. Like a win and then another win and you're right back in it.
Yeah, without doubt. And the focus is on getting a win the next day. You know, the next day is basically knockout. You know, if we're beaten the next day, we are out. And if Island Rovers are beaten the next day, they're out, more or less. So, look, as such, the next game is knockout to a degree. But, look, we'll be building for the next 3 weeks and hopefully we'll be in a better place come the Island Rovers game.
All right, Joe McCarthy was in Clonakilty for that game today. Castlehaven defeating Carbery Rangers 14-9. Suggests a comfortable enough win for Castlehaven. Was that the case, Joe?
It was in the second half, Rory, to be fair. The first half was pretty even, Stephen. It finished 7 points apiece at the end of the first of that first 30 minutes, and there was very little in it. To be fair to Castlehaven, they got off to a very, very good start. There were 4 points to no score up inside the first quarter of an hour, and then Ross found their feet and managed to pull back and level it four apiece. And they were level three times in the first half, and they actually finished level, as I said, 7 points apiece. But I guess just before we even talk about the second half, the most significant thing beforehand was the fact that Ross Carby Rangers began without three important players. Their goalkeeper, Paul Shannon, was injured, and their two probably most talismanic forwards, John Hayes, was out with tendonitis, and John O'Rourke, their Cork senior, was out with a hamstring injury. Now, John Hayes did come on in the second half and managed to get a point, but it was always going to be an uphill battle for them without those three players.
How much of a factor was fitness in the game, Ger? Because, I mean, like, clubs have only been back a couple of weeks training as a group ahead of the weekend, the first weekend. So how much of a factor was fitness going into the game today?
I'd have to say that of all the matches that I've watched, and I've watched far too many of them this weekend, either on streams, dodgy streams, or, you know, the professional ones that, you know, that were done via the Irish Examiner, this was by far probably the two teams that I thought looked the healthiest, if you know what I mean. I thought towards the last quarter, perhaps Carby Rangers seemed to be struggling a little, but that's because at that point, Castlehaven were pulling away anyway at that point, and they had opened a 3 or 4 point gap. No, they kept coming back. But I did think I didn't think there was any sluggishness in the first 15-20 minutes. It did slow down in the third quarter, yes, definitely, but not to the extent of other games. And I think that's testament to the preparation of both sides. And I suppose the big thing, Rory, is despite the defeat, and you, from talking to Holly O'Sullivan, the manager, afterwards, like, their Carby Rangers are not out of this championship. Obviously, they're going to be looking ahead to their next game and they have to win it against Island Rovers. But I thought both teams lasted the pace better than some of the other matches that I would have come across this weekend.
Yeah, and that's the glory of, I suppose, the group format, is that there's no one out on the first day. After today's result, exactly feel like championship because of the group format, and maybe that intensity was slightly lacking. Is that something that you noticed today?
No, Rory, that's one thing you will not be lacking when these two sides size each other up, Castlehaven and Roscarbery Rangers down in West Cork. We were talking about it just in the press pack beforehand, just saying that how significant would the lack of atmosphere be, because I remember covering these two teams last year in the early stages of the championship when Carby Rangers won after extra time blowing Skibbereen, and it was an absolutely crackling atmosphere. I think players are now getting used to it and acclimatising to it. But I think what would have helped teams in the run into the championship, Rory, is the fact they would have played challenge matches. Mm. Now, normally you play a challenge match behind closed doors and there's nobody there. And then you kind of come in here and there's about 80-odd fans, you know, 40 fans from each. And they do make a bit of noise, but it's nowhere near the atmosphere that teams would be used to. And especially down here in West Cork when there's a derby and when you have a West Cork group of death, when Newcestown and Island Rovers also involved, you'd have big crowds at each of those games. So it did lack for atmosphere today, I would admit that. But at the same time, I think everybody just gets so caught up in the game and players are just so ultra-focused on the ball and getting onto the ball and getting on with the game. I think they tend to forget about it. But what I would say is significant is that had there been a full house here today in Clonakilty, which there would normally have been, I think it would have G'd up both teams, and I think it might have inspired Carby Rangers a little bit more in the final quarter, you know, when they needed it. So maybe there is significance to that, but these two could meet each other out in the middle of Antarctica and there'd be an atmosphere, so I wouldn't worry too much about that.
So Carby Rangers now have to bounce back. Castlehaven, I suppose, going into their next game of confidence, but I suppose for Carby Rangers bouncing back after that opening defeat, I mean, like, how do you pick the lads up after that and going into another West Cork derby as well, which won't be easy?
It won't, and it's significant because Island Rovers are in exactly the same boat, the team that they lost to Newcestown this weekend as well, significantly, like 3-17 to 1-7, and you know, Newcestown pulled away from them very, very well in that game. I think the big question mark for Carby Rangers, and it's a good question, is, you know, rising yourself up after losing to the Haven is not easy, but the real question mark is, will John O'Rourke be fit? Will that hamstring have cleared up in 3 weeks' time? How quickly can John Hayes come back from it? And also Paul Shannon, although fairness to Ronan Milner and Seamus Hayes and Chris Donovan, who came in today, did it quite well for most of the game. Like, they certainly, like, John Hayes came on and scored with his first touch. You know, they missed O'Rourke's ability to carry the ball and win frees, definitely. But I think they've got enough quality within that team. Going on what I've seen today, and I think what Holly O'Sullivan pretty much said it to me afterwards as well, like, they would hope that they'd have enough quality come that game against the Rovers that they can win that match. But as he said himself, it's a knockout game now, and this is the significance of the group structure, because should Carby Rangers or Island Rovers lose that game, they can get out. It's unlikely they'll get out of the group, and they could be staring into a relegation battle.
All right, Ger, thanks very much for that. Ger, of course, making his Big Red Bench debut yesterday. How'd you find it?
Unbelievable. Exciting and entertaining. Can I thank Colm O'Sullivan for his professionalism and ability to calm me down and stop me talking at various junctures of the pod or of the live broadcast? But enjoyed it and looking forward to the next one.
All right, Ger, thanks for that, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have our new signing for the Big Red Bench, Ger McCarthy, there on with Colm yesterday, and working hard for us down in West Cork today, and at a massive West Cork derby and a win for Castlehaven over Carbery Rangers. They'll be hearing for from Ger over the next couple of weeks. All right, still to come on the show, going to hear from Newcestown, going to hear from Douglas, and up next going to talk to our co-founder's chairman, Bill O'Leary, about keeping the club going during a pandemic.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
I just need to say congratulations to Riverstown FC ladies, who text into the show to say they've won the CWSSL Challenge Cup. They beat Wilton today with 3-0, and the scorers on the day were Sophie Hudner, Ellen Baker and Sharon Carson. So congratulations indeed to Riverstown. Congratulations as well to Douglas Hall, who are into the FA Youth Challenge Cup semi-final after a 4-2 win against Crumlin United. Away to Crumlin United as well, never an easy place to go to Dublin and get a result, but congratulations to Douglas Hall. Fantastic stuff from them. We're going to hear from Clove Ramblers shortly. First though, going to catch up on the rest of today's full times, and we will go to Leicester versus Manchester United, where Manchester United book Champions League football.
And a Bruno Fernandes penalty and a Jesse Lingard goal in stoppage time following a Kasper Schmeichel clanger were enough to see United finish the season in third. Brendan Rodgers' men, who were 14 points ahead of United in January, dropped to fifth, so it'll be Europa League football for them next term. At the King Power, it finished Leicester City 0, Manchester United 2.
And this was the reaction of boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
You know, where we were earlier on in the season to end up third is fantastic by them. They've taken on board so many things, had our ups and downs, and it's of course come down to the last game, and I've got to say it's a wonderful achievement by everyone.
Chelsea booking Champions League football as well with that win over Wolves in Beach.
Chelsea manager Frank Lampard gave a glimpse of what it means to steer his club into the Champions League in his first season in charge. When Mason Mount opened the scoring, he looked relieved as he beamed up at his behind-the-scenes colleagues in the stands. And then there was a real release of tension as Lampard kicked the advertising hoardings in celebration after Olivier Giroud scored the second. Wolves will have to hope now that Chelsea win the FA Cup final next week, because that would give them a Europa League place.
So yeah, Chelsea into the Champions League, and Nigel Bidmead, meanwhile, at Palace and Spurs.
Not so long ago, a place in the Europa League was seen as a booby prize, but for clubs like Tottenham, who have a new stadium to pay for, European football of any kind is essential. Harry Kane continued his excellent scoring form with the opener here at Selhurst Park, and Geoffrey Schlupp equalised for Palace, who played with a great deal of spirit. But Spurs did enough. Crystal Palace 1, Tottenham 1.
All right, we're going to talk football, and we'll have more Gaelic games before we wrap up the show. But Cove Ramblers back in action next week. Stuart Ashton said we're on the road for their first game back as they face Bray Wanderers at the Carlisle Grounds, where kickoff is at 7:45. Ahead of the game, I've been speaking to Ramblers chairman Bill O'Leary about the challenges of keeping the club going during a pandemic.
Yeah, Rory, look, it's been positive and negative. Obviously, it's been negative for society at large, and we recognise that, and it's unprecedented, as we know. And, you know, we take our hat off to all the healthcare workers and everyone in the health service that's done some amazing work. But for us, I think we had great momentum in the first couple of games, Drogheda at home and Athlone at home and UCD away. And that momentum actually has actually kicked on in a funny kind of way, because we've used the downtime to, I suppose, restructure ourselves a little bit. And we have also used the downtime to, I suppose, drive on a lot of the community engagement work that we're focused on, and also get our online merchandising shop up and running. And we've had regular meetings, and we've set up podcasts. We've recognised the contribution of past players and past volunteers and podcasts with those kind of people. We've engaged a lot with the FAI, and we needed to do that, because I think historically as a club we probably haven't done enough of that. So we've certainly opened the door of communication with the FAI at all levels, and we have a very good relationship with them now, and that's positive, I think, for both parties. So in many ways, I think we've used the this unprecedented time in a very positive way, and we're really energised and looking forward to the kickoff and restart, Rory.
Yeah, I'd imagine at some point during the pandemic, you must have thought there would be no football at all for 2020, which must have been worrying.
Yeah, it was worrying. It was certainly worrying, because obviously we have a certain amount, like every entity, business entity, we have a certain amount of fixed costs that just don't go away, and a lot of variable costs. But the fixed costs are there anyway, whether or not playing football or not. And that was a challenge for us. And how are we going to meet that cost, especially when one of our main income streams is our on site bar, and that was closed and is closed. So that was a concern. But we didn't lose hope, and we always had the, you know, the belief that things would turn a little bit and we'd be allowed to back playing football. And so the positivity is very important. I mean, our ethos now, Rory, very much in the club, and what we've tried to ingrain at all levels is think positively and act positively. And we've no time for naysayers. We've no time for negative attitudes. So really, even in spite of this difficult time for everyone, we've tried to remain positive, and actually it's borne fruit.
The negotiations, I suppose, for the return of football in the country was difficult, I suppose. I mean, it was a lengthy process.
It was a lengthy process, and, you know, I was heavily engaged on behalf of the club and the First Division, and what we did was Very, very importantly, I think the First Division clubs spoke with a unified voice, and we all believe that the return to football was ultimately absolutely important for the credibility of the league. But was actually more important was the honouring of the promotion and relegation aspect, and that was very important. And we were resolute in our determination to ensure that promotion was retained, and it was ultimately, and I think that was very, very important. Otherwise, you would have undermined the basic ethos of sport, which is like to give everyone a fair chance to do better, and those that don't do better and have to be relegated, then so be it. But just, you know, you've got to deal with the realities, and you can't use an opportunity like a pandemic to try and avoid some of those realities. So look, we're delighted, and we were delighted the way the FAI held firm, and they were very resolute and I suppose patient in their negotiations with all parties. Quite a bit of disagreement, but ultimately, look, the First Division clubs were won out in terms of promotion. But what's critical is that the club is now the football is now going back at together, and I think there's a unity now there that I haven't seen in a while, and that's a really, really good thing. And I take my hat off to Gary Owens and to Niall Quinn and others in the FAI in achieving that.
We saw the streaming deal announced yesterday for the Premier Division clubs. Is there similar for the First Division in the offing, or is it something clubs are going to have to do themselves?
In negotiations with the FAI, Rory, the primary focus was with the Premier Division clubs, and we get that, we understand that, and they've agreed a package and a platform in which to host their games centrally, and that's going to, I think that's going to really provide a great opportunity for revenue for the league in general, and maybe is another example of turning a negative situation into a positive, and it's something maybe we could have done many years ago, but we're doing it now, and that's great as a league. But as individual clubs, we're doing what we can on the First Division side, and Cove will be doing streaming as well, charging €5 or €6 per game, and we hope there'll be pretty good pick up in that, especially in light of the fact that we're restricted to 200 people, including all officials at our games for the moment. We hope that'll be increased in due course, but right now it's 200, so that's quite limiting for us.
Yeah, I spoke to Tracy Kennedy, the Cork County Board, yesterday, and she was frustrated that they couldn't allow more people into their games, considering there is capacity at stadia, I guess, for people to be socially distanced safely.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the FAI here are trying to, you know, I think they're trying to be safe rather than sorry, and look, we're okay with that. We're all learning. It's all new. It's new for us all. As much as we'd like 500 plus to be allowed into games, and really all of the grounds have that capacity, and the provision will be there to, I think, still social distance and have 500 plus into our grounds. But 200 is where we're at, and we honour the edict from the FAI, and we're going to do all we can to stick to the protocols. It's very important. The last thing any of us want in the game is that we take one step forward and two back. So let's get on with the 200, and let's review it maybe as we hopefully move onto the next phase nationally. The hope is that they would increase that, and other sports have the same limitation. And you know, it's a but Rory, bear in mind, we're happy to be back under that constraint than not be back at all.
Yes, certainly so. On the field, you're back in action away to Bray next week. Stuart Ashton, I'd imagine getting the players ready must have been difficult, I suppose, but I'd imagine everyone around the club is buzzing ahead of the resumption next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I had a good chat with the players a couple of weeks ago, just letting them know what all the work we're doing all off the pitch, and hoping that they'll translate some of that good work into on the pitch, right? There's no guarantees, but very much we want to create that bond between off the pitch and on the pitch, and we're one entity and we're one team, and you know, looking at some of the training sessions, the guys are really energized. We've had two good games, friendly games in advance of going back, which we won both games. We're playing Cork City on Friday night, which we hope we'll do well on as well, so it's all good. And Stuart, we're confident, and we know Stuart is the right man for the job. You know, he's ambitious, he's competitive, he's driven, and he drives that into the team, and they're young lads, and they want to achieve things, and they're all delighted actually that the promotion opportunity still remains. So you can see their ambition when you talk with them, and we're there to facilitate that worry. So look, the club is moving forward, and we're really, really, really excited about the return to football.
Yeah, certainly, and kind of, I suppose, that, as you mentioned, like, that promotion is going to create a lot of excitement being in the promotion hunt. We've seen it at Cove a couple of times. Just being in the hunt creates excitement. It gets people through the gate. It gets the entire town talking.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we're restructuring, I suppose, remodeling the club in many ways, we're not setting ourselves up as a club that's only going to get decent number of spectators based on performance. Like, you'd always get the extra quantity of supporters that will come through the gate when you're doing well. That's the nature of sport. We get that. What we're trying to do here is create a core and a strong base of supporters that feel they've got something to contribute to the club, that feel that the club represents them, that feel really that they're part of the club, the town, the region, connect with the players, connect with the volunteers. We now have 25 volunteers and more helping at all levels of the club. So really, that's very important that we don't just, I suppose, focus on trying to do well necessarily on the pitch. We have to do well off the pitch as well, and that's where we will win ultimately if we do well on both sides, Rory.
I suppose engagement to community is vital in getting sponsorship into the club as well.
It is, and look, we we're doing well on sponsorship. We have the Metropolitan and we have Bathroom Builders. They've both been very generous with their sponsorship, and you know, and as our profile is improving, as our voice is being heard more generally nationally as well, I think sponsorship opportunities will grow. We've a very engaged public out there now. We're getting people ringing us up asking to help us, which is great, and there's real energy there. We've people coming to the games that haven't been there in many years, so it's all positive, and we've got many maintain that positivity together. If we go forward together, we'll have our disagreements, but I think if we honour the contribution of every single person, then we'll do the right thing and we'll be very strong. I mean, we were a golf outing on the 31st of this month, and that's oversubscribed, and we have our summer camps coming up, and that's for kids, and that's fully subscribed, and that's giving parents an opportunity to put young Johnny away playing football for a few days, so that's great, right? So we're there to help that on a societal level as well, and we're delighted.
All right, Bill, thanks very much. Hope to see you for a socially distant evening down in St. Colman's Park very, very soon.
Great, Rory. You're welcome to come down, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks, Rory.
Certainly looking forward to getting down to St. Colman's Park. They're away to Bray as the season resumes next Friday night at 7:45, but you better believe Saturday, the 8th of August, the following week, I'll be there at 7 o'clock to watch Cove Rammers take on Galway United. Really looking forward to getting back, watching matches, reporting on matches. It has been a long, 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 long couple of months. So really looking forward to getting back, and really looking forward to getting stuck right back in with all the football that's due to come up. All right, we are going to go back to talk about Gaelic games now. And Newstown began their Premier Senior Football Group B campaign with a 3-17-1-7 win over Island Rovers at Dunmanway yesterday evening. At halftime, the victors led 9-3. Sean O'Donovan netting an Island penalty just before the break. They reduced the gap to just a point early in the second half, but Newstown responded with an unanswered 3-8. The goals coming from Tadhg Toomey and Cathal Kane, who scored two. Dennis has been speaking to Newstown manager Tom Wilson about the importance of the win in terms of the club's dual commitments.
When you went in leading at half time by 3, and then Ireland came out and got 2 points at the start of the second half, as everyone was expecting, a closer game, but you really pushed on.
We did, I suppose. You know, going back to the first half, we were still for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we gave them the penalty before half time to get them back in, to get them back into it. We gave them 5 minutes to start the second half, as we say. But after that, I think we just drove on and drove on and drove on. You know, relentless stuff from there on. So the last couple of minutes again, when we got a couple more scores.
Yeah, but it was real. You know, you could really see that the team had been very well coached. Right, there were some lovely moves, one end of the field, the other. Fellas taking the right options more often than not, keeping their heads, like, and not just aimlessly kicking the ball.
Yeah, well, I just said to the Island Rovers boys there a while ago that they got us when we were going to be probably at our best, because we've had time to prepare for this.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, we're preparing for this along with preparing for the hurling.
Yeah.
And the problem we have going forward now is that the hurling is going to take over for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we will have probably two nights together before we play Castlehaven.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a totally different kettle of fish then.
Of course, but I suppose when you get a win like this, and like you say, when it's going to be a case of football, hurling, a win like this is huge morale, given that it's such a big crossover of the two panels.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, you know now that I'm sure the lads will go, you know, for the hurling match, only be buzzing, like, because this big win is behind them, like, and, you know, he'll be able to do it.
Yeah. and when you're in such a tough group, for West Cork teams, a kind of a group of death, really, like, was this a game that you had to win if you had any designs in going further?
Well, it was, and then not necessarily because it was Ulster Rovers, simply because it was the first one,
yeah.
And we were going to get that bit more preparation time.
Yeah, okay. And so, you know, looking forward positively anyway to the Haven game and just hoping you get everyone back fit. And
well, yeah, like, I mean, as long as we have all the bodies back after two hurling games, like, everybody that played today is going to be playing hurling next week.
Yeah.
A couple of them are only going to be playing maybe in St. Mary's, but everybody is going to be playing hurling next week. So that's a fact.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of making sure that all the bodies are right and to go again when we do play the Haven.
And was there anyone not available tonight who will be back for the Haven game?
We don't know, really. Like, Daniel Toomey, Owen Kelly, Trevor Horgan and Mark Kennelly were all not talked out.
Okay.
Tonight, like, and they're all fellas who played senior last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're hoping that one or two of those might be available by then.
Oh, yeah. It's news to town manager Tom Wilson. They're speaking a very windy down Manway by the sounds of it after last night's 3-17-1-7 win over Ireland Rovers. Also last night, Douglas defeating Bishopstown 114-19 in Group C of the Premier Senior Football Championship. This is our boss Ray Keating speaking to the assembled media afterwards.
Set to play for a good performance overall, I think.
Half time, 10-4.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. We only scored 10 against them last year, so to have 10 at half time was a bit of a change. But you know, it was something that six up, having played with the wind, we just wanted to. We didn't want to sit back. Like, we've got a lot of good players, a lot of pace. We wanted to push on again. I was happy with how we reacted to the goal in particular. You know, they got there. I think it was back to 3 at that point. We pushed on again and we got the next couple of scores, and that's a good sign of the team and a good sign of their strength, mental strength, I think.
There's a lot of pace there, isn't there, the team, when you run at them? Because
there's an awful lot of pace, yeah. There's you know, it's a young team. We've obviously got bits of experience sprinkled in there as well, but it's a team that can move, you know, at pace quite a lot. So having said that, it's obviously our first championship game. We've had challenge games, but nothing compares to just championship pace. So the 60 minutes will stand to us in a big way. We use 5 subs, and you know, if there was more subs available, we'd brought them on, because we do have a very strong panel.
Was that the most pleasing aspect, so, like, given how well you played again, given the long break you had as well?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, I think it's a strange setup in terms of there's no dressing rooms, there's not really a crowd there. You know, there are challenges that fellas haven't dealt with, and it can feed into maybe not feeling like a championship game in the normal sense of things. So, you know, some of the games can start a little bit slowly because of that, but we didn't, in fairness. There we started, you know, kind of 100 miles an hour, and I thought we had them on the back foot from the start, and yeah, I was delighted with it, to be honest.
Is there a slight sense that maybe you could have won by even more? You could have got 2 goals in the first 10 minutes and stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, we did have goal chances, but look, Bishopstown are a good side. Like, as I said beforehand, that you know, we beat them by, I think it was 2 last year, they beat us by 1 or 2 the year before. Like, there isn't a huge amount in the team, so they were always going to come at us. Like, they've been dual senior club like ourselves for a number of years. They weren't just going to lay down and die. So I think we're overall very happy with our performance. We would have expected them to answer back to us.
And just finally then from me, how happy are you to be back on the sideline and back at Parky Ring watching your side play?
That's brilliant. I mean, like, the amount of speculation we had over the last few months about whether we'd get here or not, you know, you're always wondering. So it's been a dream the last couple of weeks. Been good weather, pitches are good, fellas are eager, numbers are up. It's brilliant. It's just really pleasing to actually get to play.
Sharry Pofer, obviously the...
Yeah, so he's missing. He just had a little niggle in his calf. So he did a session today. We debated using him, but I suppose, look, we're trying to take a longer term view of it. So had it been a knockout game, he would have started for us. We just thought it was a more sensible option just to hold him back for today. It's nothing major, as I say, just a slight problem with his calf, but nothing I'd be overly concerned about.
That's Ray Keating there of Douglas after the win over Bishopstown last night. 114-19 was how it finished. Bit windy there as well. Social distancing and doing post-match interviews is a tricky combination that we're all learning to get used to, as we could hear from the last couple of interviews. But yeah, it's great to have sport back. It's great to have local Gaelic games back, and great to see some fantastic games over the weekend. And if you missed any of our reaction today, our podcast will be online shortly after 7 o'clock tonight. You can get that on redextra.ie, redfm.ie, or wherever you get your podcasts from as well. All right, just before we wrap up the show, Kevin O'Connor returning to Cork City last week was announced, so we're going to hear from him. He's been in conversation with Cullum ahead of the return to action next week.
back. Look, it's a place I enjoy being, playing, you know, I've always loved it, so look, once the gaffer put a bit of interest, you know, it was no brainer really to come back down and give the lads a help for the rest of the season. Obviously my third spell down, hopefully now it'll go a bit better than last year, but look, we've a good little squad there, young but good, so we're hoping we can kick on now and get started to the return of fixtures.
You weren't gone for long this time, really. I mean, you were down in Waterford for maybe 6-7 months, and you're back again, if even. Yeah, exactly. So, but even that much time, the club has changed a lot. I mean, in terms of the squad and the whole setup here.
Yeah, big time. Look, it's the story of this league, really. You know, it's like a roulette wheel with whatever goes on. You know, but as I said, a new manager come in, has his own ideas, changed things, and you know, like, you still have the likes of Noel Spino still here, still around, so they still have that core. But yeah, look, I'm happy with how things are going. I'm happy with how the squad's looking, and obviously we're getting our pre-season games in. It's just a matter of getting fitness and getting that match sharpness back. But we've a couple of games now coming up, so look, it's all just building towards Bowls. That's the big one. That's the one we're all aiming for.
I suppose it's a bit different in terms of your previous spells at Cork City, in where Cork City are in the table and stuff as well. Obviously the first time was the winning, then the second time was a bit lower down, but this time it's a bit of a scrap at the bottom of the table. I mean, second from bottom going to these games, so it's 13 games and it's going to be a vital 13 games. There's no margin for error, really, should it not?
Yeah, no margin for error whatsoever. You know, it's 13 cup finals, it's like we have to look at it. And you know, it's going to be tough, because you go from having 31 games left or whatever to having 13 games left. You know, the season was just chopped, which is disappointing with everything that went on. But look, we have to manage it. It's the same for every team out there, so it's a matter of just picking up as many points as we can from where we can. As I said, it's different to when I was here times before. You know, the squad we had before, when the league and everything was just unbelievable. You know, you don't get that many places, but look, there's talented lads in the group, and as they were saying, the lads were saying, you know, they were building as the games were going along, you know, they were starting to find their feet, and then obviously all the COVID stuff happened. But yeah, it's a difficult one, like, you know, there's 13 games, but it's in such a short period of time as well. You know, you just have to try to pick up points wherever you can, and make sure that we start playing that little bit
quicker. You played as a left back originally at Cork City. You played centre midfield a bit in your last spell. What's your preference of position?
Nowhere. I'll play anywhere I'm going to be playing. Yeah, look, it's one of them where wherever I'm asked to play, I'll play. It's been a story of my career, really. Yeah. You know, it's wherever I'm asked to play. I joined Cork originally as a centre man and was put left back. So, look, as I said, wherever I put, I'll play. I just want to do well for the club, and hopefully, as I said, to get the team up the table.
Just finally, it's going to be strange playing in front of empty stadiums, I suppose. Turners Cross always a great atmosphere. You'd have seen that all down through the years in your spells at City. Whether there was 2,000 people there, 7,000 people there, it's a great atmosphere, a great buzz always. This time, it's just going to be the players, the staff, the media, a bit of security maybe. Yeah. It's going to be no fancy. It's going to be strange.
It'll be strange, all right. Look, it'll be mental. You have to get yourself up for games. Look, you're a professional sports person. You should be able to get yourself up for games anyway. But there's always that bit where the crowd is there and they're egging you on. You know, it's always an extra boost. I think you've seen it a bit over across the water. The first few games were slow tempo because lads are getting used to it. You know, you're used to playing in front of people, and it's an added pressure as much as it is a helping hand, you know. So it's going to be strange, but as I said, look, it's 13 cup finals for us. We have to worry about ourselves and make sure we put in good performances, because look, we're at the wrong end of the table at the minute, and we need to start picking up points.
Kevin, thanks a minute.
Well done, Colin. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Colm in conversation there with Kevin O'Connor. 13 cup finals, he mentioned, for Cork City to secure their Premier Division status. They start their campaign against Bohemians next Sunday, 5 o'clock kickoff. We will, of course, be there across the entire afternoon, as Colm presents in the afternoon show from 2 to 6, and the Big Red Bench will be live for the second half from 6 to 7. So we'll have keeping you right up to date across that game next Sunday, 5 o'clock kickoff. Fortunately, there will be no spectators there because of COVID-19 restrictions, but we will do our best to make you think like you're there if you're listening to us on the radio, and of course the streaming service now available as well. But that is our show for you this evening, our first Sunday back since March, my first Big Red Bench since March. Hope it went okay. I think it went okay. I didn't do too badly. But delighted to be back, and a very, very busy schedule of sport between now and Christmas, basically, coming up. So very, very exciting times indeed. Thank you very much for tuning our way this evening, making a mess of it at the end of it. You can listen to our podcast online, redextra.ie, redfm.ie. We're back next Saturday from 6. Green and Red is up next. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks, and we'll talk to you next week.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.